Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Just a Mom. Every once in a while you meet someone, you say, well, what do you do? And then you look at the woman and say, well, what do you do? She says, I'm just a mom. I don't know what you mean when you say that, but that's a horrible way to look at it, in my opinion. And you say, well, that's just all I do. You're a mom. If you're a mom, that's something. And when we get done here today, you'll see that. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Go there. We'll read two or three things out of Proverbs and then move right. Proverbs 1, 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father. And then look at this next little phrase. And do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Not the kind of chains you're thinking. You know, that's a good thing here. So talking to his son, this man talking to his son, hear the instruction of your father. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Remember what you've been told. Now, I also am aware that you say, well, dude, this all works if you have a mom like you have. My mom was a piece of work. She was a crazy woman. She was a drunk or she was an alcoholic and she was never there and she beat us and she did all these things. So you're going to have to learn some stuff. One of the most powerful things you can do as a woman is if you had a jacked up childhood and a mom who didn't know what she was doing, and then you say, I think I want to get married and have kids, you need to look at some women and say, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I know how to get pregnant, but I don't know what to do after that. And if I have a baby, I'm going to be completely lost because I've got my own issues. That's, again, why discipleship, women with women, men with men, sit down with some women. We all know you don't know what you're doing already, right? All you got to take is just take an older woman, a mom, and watches, and you say, well, I don't want to get in the middle of that. Sometimes you have to, but you have to be willing, if you're the lost soul in that situation, to say, I need help. You might be whooping your kids too hard. Seen that, you know, and you got to let people get involved in the process. Go to Proverbs 6, verse 20. Again, he's writing here, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continual upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. Keep this stuff on your heart near you where you're reminded of what you're supposed to be doing. There's a reason why this stuff's in the Bible. There's a reason why your parents, your mom, your dad tell you things. Conversation over and over and over so that when you get in those situations, people say, well, you know, do you got three daughters, do you carry a shotgun? I said, I don't have any guns. I give the guns to my daughters. When they need the guns, that's what they're going to need the guns because I'm not going to be there in those moments. So what are you doing? You're trying to train these girls, train these boys, not to do the right thing when you're around. It's to do the right thing when nobody's around. To do the right thing when they're in that situation and their bodies and their hearts and all their emotion, everything is going and they get swept away and they remember what their dad said. They remember the law of their mother. Here are the standards. Do not violate this or you're going to make nothing but trouble for yourself. So stick with it. You say, well, they're not listening. They are listening. And at least it gives you something to come back to if you ever decide to come back. Go to Proverbs 31, and I think this should be read every once in a while just to be read, and I'm going to read it. And you say, well, is this about moms? This is about women in general. It's very fascinating as we get into this. You'll see that this is written, it's the words in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. So this is not just some king talking. He is saying what his mama told him. So these are not a man's words. These are a woman's words, a mom's words taught to a son, and now we're getting to see what she told him. And he relays this. This is what she said, who taught him. What, my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not, like, what are you doing? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Clearly, alcohol changes your reasoning, your faculties, the way you think. You say, well, good, I'm not a king, I can drink. It doesn't help anybody. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter in heart. You know, if somebody's going to drink, let it be somebody who's about to die, almost anesthesia of sorts. And wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless and in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. So she talks here, first of all, like, you know, don't be a drunk. Almost don't even drink, because it's just going to create trouble, not just for you, but prevent you from being the man, the king you need to be. And then she goes into verse 10, what he relays here. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. Now, this is not talking about her size, the merchant ships. It's talking about bringing things in. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. And by the way, if you're thinking, well, what are we going to do with this passage? Is this a stay-at-home mom? This doesn't sound like just a mom. No one said to be just a mom that you can't have a brain. You say, well, how do I know? Look at this list. This is some extraordinary woman. Who could even, I agree, who can find a virtuous woman like this especially? Who can live up to this? Somehow, being a godly woman and balance being inserted in the middle of it, you can do what you're supposed to do and not swing too far one way or the other. I mean, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we got women in this church. One woman that doesn't even know how much I respect her, about to find out, a pediatrician, went to medical school, three boys, and made a decision. They as a couple decided that she would be a stay-at-home mom and raise those three boys, and has maintained her medical certifications through the years, but they committed as a family to raise their boys. What about the money? It wasn't about the money. Will she go back into medicine? I don't know. She's capable of doing that and stayed current to do that. You sometimes make huge decisions. It doesn't mean she checked her brain. It doesn't mean she's not involved in civic things and in community affairs and doing business, whatever it is. But you have to say, God, what do you want me to do? And if he gives you instruction, you say, well, this is going to cost X. And you say, okay, but I'm willing to do that. There is a reason. Now, is that what every woman's supposed to do? I don't know what you're supposed to do, but if you're doing what you want to do without even asking God about it, now you're in trouble. So keep reading. I mean, it's almost depressing because this woman gets more amazing as you go. She also rises while it's night, provides food for her household, a portion for her maidservant. She considers a field and buys it. She's in real estate. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. So she's a smart businesswoman because she's making money. She buys a field, sells it, makes money. Now she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Everybody's got what they need. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Now, I'm married to pretty close to this, and I'm not just saying that because she's in the room. Straight up, I will tell you this. You could throw my wife in a dumpster and she'd come out with product. I am not making this up. I have a wife that can take trash. You know, it's just amazing. She is amazing. Where were we? I got all flustered there for a minute. She's selling stuff. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Is that your reputation as a woman? Man, when she speaks, she has something to say. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, this is the verse I'm after. Verse 28. Now, if you are this woman, and you're even attempting to be this woman, how do you know that it is working? You say, well, did I have a balanced life? Did I live the way God intended? Is this what's supposed to happen? Can I be a mom and do all of these things? Here's a great indicator. Other than the fact that this is in the Bible, look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. When your kids have something good to say about you as a mom, not just, hi, mom, we just call to say happy Mother's Day, and you know we don't really like you, but you're forced to do this once a year. My wife's phone was blowing up. Early before she woke up, my girls saying amazing things to her because they had to know. They love her. They know she loves them. It works. And when your children rise up and call you blessed, something must be working. And I'm telling you, we got some women who don't have that experience, but we have many who do because you did the right thing. And you say, well, right now they're just crying, screaming, filling diapers, whatever. Lord willing, the day will come when they rise up and call you blessed. My mama's dead and I'm doing it because she was an amazing woman. Her husband also, and he praises her. You know, this may be too real, but here it is. Every once in a while, the enemy sends some woman by. Says, what about her? You could run off with her. Temptation. And all you women know this is real. You know that there are women vying for your husband. And the woman's nice, maybe attractive, whatever. If you'll just run the trap far enough to say, and what about breaking that redhead's heart? And what about explaining to my three girls? And what about, and what about? And saying, okay, well, that's interesting, but what do I have? Spend some time praying and thanking God and praising your wife publicly and privately and realize what you have got. And you say, well, I don't have much. Whatever you're describing, I'd give mine up in a heartbeat, run off with anybody because it's such a nightmare at my house. And I'd say this gently, you picked her. You picked her. And God allowed you to pick her. So he is doing something in you and maybe even to you to bring something out through you that won't come without that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And these are amazing verses. I read these verses as a man and think certain things. I have no idea what it would be like to read these as a woman, knowing that a mom told her king's son, this is how it's supposed to go down. And from a woman's perspective, what it would be like to even hear these things. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, I'm going to tell you something straight up. Our culture, this planet, it's been this way for millennia, I guess, but it's for whatever reason, it is so jacked up right now. There are no boundaries. For a woman, forget waiting on a guy to ask you out. Walk up, hand him your number, walk up and say, hey, you want to go back to my place? Let's get it on. Let's hook up, whatever you're saying. And nobody's surprised by that. That is not the way it's supposed to work. Amen. And people say, oh, well, you're always talking about no sex before marriage. Nobody does that anymore. That doesn't mean it's not right. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It means you have to try. Give God a chance. Do the right thing one time and see what happens. This stuff matters. Don't just abandon scripture. Don't abandon the truth. Stick to something. It could change your life. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now I'm going to try to do this pretty quickly, and it seems such an obvious thing to me, and maybe it will to you too. The story of Jesus' birth, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. 6 months, angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph for the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, this is what he says, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. Okay, so clearly she's special. And by the way, this does not make her the fourth person of the Trinity. And I'm not being disrespectful. Mary is an amazing girl, picked of all the women in history to be the mother of Jesus. That does not make her God. You do not have to go through Mary to get to her son. You can go straight to her son and go through her son to get to the Father, but you can be amazed by Mary. She's extraordinary, but she's not perfect. She got picked and used by God for a specific thing, and that's what we're going to look at. Highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus." And by the way, if you are able to have children, you have found favor somehow. It doesn't mean the women who don't have children don't have favor, but it is an extraordinary thing. I sit with women through the years who would do, they'd give a limb to have a child. Couples go, you know, all these processes, medical procedures, and adopt whatever to hold a baby to have a child, but would have given anything to birth their own child. And Mary gets picked to be what? Now, what is this about? Her job was to be just a mom. It just so happens that she got picked to be the mother of the Son of God. Now, without this sounding too weird directed at me, my mom got picked to be my mom. That's a big deal because God had plans for my life. God knew before I was born that he would call me to do this very thing. And he put me in a house with my mom, with my dad, and raised me a certain way. It had its challenges. It had its moment. But I would not be who I am. You have to pay attention. If you are a mother specifically today and God put a child in your house, I don't care if you, almost how you got pregnant. And this is, I understand that's tricky. But I can name you people who are the product of rape, who somehow the mother managed to weather that storm, give birth to a child, and God did extraordinary things even out of that nightmare. So if God put a child in you and you birthed that child and somehow you're raising that child, you got picked. You are not just a mom. You need to step it up. You need to pay attention. And you say, well, my kid's this or that. We got kids in this church who have learning disabilities, all these things, and almost the most extraordinary mothers we've got are the moms of these kids with challenges. You can't imagine what people go through trying to raise kids. You say, well, we had troubles. You don't know if you got special needs kids, what can happen, what it can take. Why did Mary get picked? What did she get picked for? To be Jesus' mom. That's it. Raise this kid. He is going to be born of a virgin, but he is going to be born. He's not just going to show up on the planet. He's going to come like all of us come through a womb of a woman. That's the only way you get on the planet. And he came that way too, and they picked her. Keep reading. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Tells her all these things. Go down to verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." She was willing to do this. And then look down in verse 42. She goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women." This is Elizabeth speaking to Mary when she comes in. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" That's all she had to do was be his mom. Be his mom. What does that mean? Some probably teenage girl finds out she's going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit and be God's mom. You think you got trouble? Go to John chapter 2. This is a little over 30 years later. Bam, just like that. I don't know how this is going to work when you get to heaven. I don't know. This is going to be like a red box and you can watch like Jesus, you know, 1 to 2 years old. Jesus, 2 to 3 years old. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I kind of have a verse that tells me I think you're just going to know. But a lot of stuff happened in this house. And you got Jesus, the perfect child, and two imperfect parents. And they're trying to work this out. Something must have worked because he turns out. And at 30, she's still in the game. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus was there. You know what? Don't complicate the Bible. He had friends. They got married. They grew up with each other. He got invited to a wedding. Mom got invited too. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So not only Jesus, but now the 12 are invited to this wedding too. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, hey, they got no wine, Jesus. Now, why would she go to Jesus and tell him that? Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. So you're worried about the party. There's no wine at the party. Why is that a problem? So this is a 30-year-old man talking to his mother. And she's aware they've run out of wine, and now that's his problem. Why is that my problem? My hour has not yet come. But then she keeps going. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now that is a healthy relationship. It ain't mama's boy anymore, or at all. It's not mama saying, well, this is what I'm telling you to do. She backs off and says, let me tell you something about this one. If he tells you to do something, you probably should do it. Now she is trusting in him. She knows who she raised. So look what happens. Everybody seems to know this story. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. So a bunch of water. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. You serve the good stuff first. I guess the people get liquored up, they don't know the bad stuff's last. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. So not only did Jesus turn the water into wine, he turns it into really good wine. Now, please don't go arguing this to me. See, well, Jesus turned water into wine. You know what? You can drink all the wine you want that you turn to wine from water. That's my verse. I'm not saying don't drink wine, but really drink that stuff. It's a lot cheaper anyway. So this relationship, this mom with Jesus himself, she knows who he is. She's been told, and I could go back and read all these things the angels had said at the temple when he was dedicated, all this stuff going on. And this may even be a parenthetical statement. Do not give up on your children. You say, well, I got a kid in prison. I got a kid doing this. I got a kid in that. I could take you through this room too. Men who come specifically from a facility, a rehab facility, and I can almost guarantee you these men who are clean and sober and are going to make it, in a lot of cases, it is traceable to a mama somewhere on her knees. And some kids, you know, you go, well, he's just a loser. He's just a drug addict. He's just a whatever. You know what? Stop thinking that. That is your kid. Let God get a hold of your heart, your life, and have a relationship that's healthy. Get the bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever you got, and climb in a closet somewhere and go to bat for your kids. Because it ain't over till it's over. Look at us. I'm proof that it's not over. I had some tough years. I've never been drunk, never been high, but I was a lost puppy. I didn't get a lot of things spiritually, and then God sent me some help, and it's tons better. It got way better, and I'm so grateful to God and to my mom. Now, I'm going to tell you something about my mama. Her prayers, she is dead, and her prayers are still getting answered. You pray to the finish line, and even when you're out of here, your prayers keep working. I can't explain to you how this works. I know it works, because my mama's prayers are still, that crop is still coming in.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
One more, Galatians chapter 4. Just one little verse here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. A simple birth turns out to be the simple answer to all our problems. Jesus, born of a woman, sent to redeem the world, lives a sinless life, dies the perfect sacrifice, buried and raised from the dead to make everything possible that God intended.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.